Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 321. No longer wish to marry you. After delivering his icy words, Callum headed toward Callista. Wyatt wanted to intervene, but Quintus and the others stopped him in his tracks. "Callum, don't provoke her." Wyatt was held back by a few people, leaving no choice but to shout, "She's emotionally unstable. She even thought of jumping off the balcony this morning." This wasn't him scaremongering at all, but a genuine hunch. Callista's previously erratic emotions had made this clear. Upon hearing that Callista was contemplating suicide, Callum's breath hitched. He quickly moved to her side, yet he dared not touch her. "Calic." He gently touched her shoulder, his tone gradually relaxing. "I'm here. I've come to get you. Regardless of whatever I've done wrong, can we go home first? I can go back if you want." Only then did Callista lift her head, gazing steadily at him. "However, I have one request." A sudden sense of unease sprouted in Callum's heart. He asked anxiously, "What do you want me to do?" Callista said very calmly, "I want to call off the wedding." Callum was taken aback. "Put simply, I no longer wish to marry you." Callista's calm words dealt Callum a devastating blow, leaving him breathless and in pain. He tried his best to control his emotions as he demanded, "Why?" Thinking back to the fortress, like Research Institute, the sea of rosemary flowers, the three unbearable years that were a living hell, and the nightmare, like memories of her reincarnation, a hostile glint gradually surfaced in Callista's eyes, "Because, I don't have feelings for you anymore." This statement was an absolute blow to Callum. How is it possible to just not like someone because they say so? There was no way that Callum would believe that all those years were a lie. "Come home with me." Callum seized Callista's hand, his gentleness toward her abruptly replaced by a sense of assertiveness. At that moment, a surge of determination erupted within Callista as she stood her ground against him. "I'll only go back if you agree to cancel the wedding. In your dreams." Callum tightened his grip on her hand, a sudden flash of anger surfacing in his eyes. "The wedding is just a week away, Callista. Are you screwing with me? If you insist on an answer, then yes." Chapter 322. Facing her fears as soon as Callista affirmed with a single yes, the tension in the room skyrocketed. Everyone fell silent, and as Callum's anger escalated, it felt as though the air itself had frozen still. "What are you doing?" Callista suddenly cried out as Callum unexpectedly hoisted her up by her waist, striding toward the exit. "Callum, put me down." Callista's strength was no match for him, and by this point, she was also infuriated. "I am a free individual. I don't belong to you. On what grounds are you taking me away? We're about to get married." Callum held her even tighter, a flicker of pain flashing in the depths of his eyes, quickly overshadowed by anger. "You've been mine for a long time already." Wyatt wanted to intervene, but he was powerless despite his eagerness. All he could do was to call out anxiously, "Callum. Callista is emotionally unstable right now, your actions will only make her condition worse." For a moment, Callum's steps faltered, but he resolutely continued on, taking Callista with him. "My woman has never been this fragile. After he finished speaking, he decisively took her away. Jerk. I told you it's over between us. Now let go of me. Callista cursed all the way in the elevator. It was probably the most expressive she had ever been. She put up a solid front against Callum, but behind her sharp demeanor, there was a sense of fear. If I fall out with Callum, would I really become his enemy? Forced into the car, Callista's unease intensified, but soon after, Callum entered and held her tightly. The comforting embrace carried a fresh scent, yet he trembled slightly as he held her. Calm down. His breaths were quick and shallow, his voice gradually softening, calm down, okay. Can we go home? After being embraced, Callista actually fell silent. She didn't say a word, and in the end, simply closed her eyes. Click. There had never been a moment when Callum felt she was so emotionally distant from him. He cautiously kissed her forehead, his expression filled with pain and helplessness. I understand you're feeling awful right now. Is there anything troubling you that I can help resolve? I've sought out the best psychologist. No matter what your fears are, we'll help you overcome them. So, you think I'm mad now, assuming all my actions are because I've lost my mind? Callista sneered, opening her eyes to look at him. And yet, you're still sticking by a lunatic. I'm truly touched. Callie. At last, Callum couldn't contain his anger any longer, glaring at her furiously. What did I do wrong? Why did you suddenly, just so suddenly, I'm aware of my mistakes, the reasons I had to go through all this. Callista's self-mocking tone was laced with profound sorrow, causing Callum to instantly calm down. He could see that even though her reasons were unclear, Callista's pain was far greater than his own. Realizing that if the issue was not addressed, Callista might be pushed further away by him, Callum fell silent for a moment before suddenly making a decision. Change of plans, we're heading to the research center. Quintus, who was driving, hesitated for a moment before changing the route. However, he didn't agree with it. Ms. Callista has been traumatized there once before. Wouldn't this be making things worse? Just as expected, Callista was extremely resistant. The moment she heard Callum mention a change of course, her eyes widened, and her voice became sharp. I'm not going there. However, Callum had made up his mind. His persistence filled Callista's eyes with despair, and she reached out to open the car door. What are you doing? This is dangerous. Quintus, lock the door. Luckily, Callum was quick to react. He swiftly closed the slightly ajar car door. Did she actually want to jump out of the car? I want to get out. I refuse to go there. Callista began to lose control over her emotions again. She felt trapped, her eyes red-rimmed. She clutched onto Callum's clothes, her grip tight and unyielding jerk. Let me go. No way. Callum became even more adamant. You must come with me. The principle he lived by was simple: wherever one fell down, one had to get back up. In essence, she had to face whatever she feared. The car sped toward the outskirts, and as they drew closer, Callista's emotions transitioned from being all worked up to an increasing calmness, eventually settling into a sense of numbness. Tell me, what are you afraid of? What Callum truly longed to know was the answer to the question. At the very least, it would enlighten him about his mistakes and what he had missed out. Callista didn't respond. As the scenery became more and more familiar, she grew increasingly silent. Having been reincarnated, she never once considered going back to that place. It was a nightmare she always tried to avoid. As such, she didn't seek revenge on those researchers, choosing instead to bury their faces along with those memories. Yet, Callum forced her to relive the past, pushing her to confront her darkest memories. "Callista, look at me." Callum couldn't bear her silence any longer. He gently held her chin, compelling her to meet his gaze. "What are you afraid of? Just tell me. I'm your husband, the closest person to you in your life. I promised to protect you from all harm. You can trust me. Please, tell me what's hurting you, okay?" Observing his shimmering eyes, Callista drew in a deep breath. "What if I were to tell you that it was you who hurt me?" Chapter 323. The revelation Callum was taken aback, immediately refuting. "That's impossible." At that moment, Quintus interrupted with a tremble in his voice. "Mr. Callum, we're here." Callista turned her head and sure enough, she was greeted by an expansive sea of flowers. Pointing toward them, she said, "You knew all along that everything here would hurt me, yet you still forced me to come. Isn't that causing harm?" Callum furrowed his brows. "I just want you to confront it. Running away won't solve anything. What if the outcome is that we become enemies?" Suddenly, Callista laughed. "Let me ask you, if going in there again would drive me mad, would you still force me to go?" This time, it was Callum's turn to remain silent for a long while. "I will." He suddenly spoke, catching Callista off guard. Yet, he spoke with an unwavering tone, emphasizing each word. "Because you're not one to lose your sanity. You're not that fragile. After all, you're the one who can drive me to madness. How could you possibly be defeated by something imaginary?" Callista was taken aback, about to say something, when Callum silenced her with a kiss. This time, he exerted a great deal of strength, pinning Callista down onto the seat and kissing her with a fervor close to madness. He had already wanted to do this back at Wyatt's house. The days without her had nearly driven him to insanity. However, Callista resisted it. She struggled vehemently, but every move she made was countered by him. When she tried to kick him away, Callum simply held down her legs. When she attempted to push him away, he seized both her hands above her head. In the end, all Callista could do was to try to bite him, but Callum used his other hand to lock her jaw, preventing her from clenching her teeth. She was forced to keep her mouth open. Powerless to resist his kiss, she was being drawn by him into a whirlwind of madness. They hadn't shared a kiss this intense in a long time. This kiss was charged with pent-up frustration, yet it was incredibly tender, as if they were facing the end of the world. After their kiss, Callum looked down at her, his handsome face filled with a mixture of bitterness and self-mockery. "Can you feel it?" He pointed to his own heart. "I am the one who's going crazy." Callista gasped for breath, seemingly scorched by his intense gaze. She quickly pushed him away and without looking back, she exited the car. "Come in with me." She hadn't walked far when Callum caught her hand. At that moment, Callista felt a wave of anxiety and confusion. She looked at him, almost pleadingly. It was the first time she had ever felt fear. "Callum. Callum, can we not go in, please?" "No, you must confront it. Unless you tell me, what is it that you're afraid of?" Left with no choice, Callista took a step forward, wrapping her arms around his waist to stop. "You know, there's no going back. Would you still want to know, him?" "Once I need to know, Callista, I need to know everything about you." Callum wore a stern expression, leaning in close to her ear. Each word he uttered was firm and unwavering. "I've had enough of guessing. If you know me, then you should realize that I despise things beyond my control. I need to know the truth." "That's right, I should have been told the truth a long time ago. Had he known everything earlier, none of this would have happened." Callista's body subtly trembled, her voice dropping to a whisper. "Is the truth really that important?" "Of course it is. Everything concerning you is important." After Callum finished speaking, he firmly grabbed Callista's hand and led her inside, leaving everyone else behind. They all watched the pair with concern. Quinta suddenly had a bad feeling. Callum had been under too much pressure these past few days, causing him to be excessively irritable and now, overly aggressive. Going in like this, might not yield the outcome he desires. The moment Callista stepped into the field of rosemary flowers, she abruptly ceased her struggle. All her fears, apprehensions, sense of helplessness, and uncertainty seemed to have been left outside. However, Callum didn't pay much heed to these changes. His only desire was to lead her into the building. If Callista understood his intentions, she'd have been touched, not afraid. He was convinced that once Callista stepped inside, no matter what she feared, she wouldn't resist him anymore. The two of them hurriedly traversed through the huge field, with Callista being led along. Her head was bowed, and she was lost in her own thoughts, unsure of what was running through her mind. The fortress, like structure, still stood tall. Its grand architecture had been built by Callum's subordinates. However, the living quarters were personally overseen by him, and he believed that Callista would definitely love it. Stepping into the place once again, Callista felt a chill at the very first step she took. The cold seemed to have awakened something, causing her body to shudder. Her eyes widened as numerous long, buried details resurfaced in her mind, playing out like a movie. They were so vivid. It was as if they had happened just yesterday. The last time she set foot on these steps, she was being dragged in by someone. Involuntarily, Callista's gaze fell onto the stone pillar outside the door. She had once clung onto the pillar in desperation, all in a bid to delay the inevitable because she knew once she entered, there would be no turning back. Just as expected, she never did come out in the end. Callum oddly tugged at her, but Callista suddenly broke free from his grip. "If you want me to go in, then let me walk in there myself." Her sudden return to calmness unsettled Callum a bit, but having come this far, he wasn't the type to back down. He gave Callista a complex look. "All right, let's go in." Then, he led the way by opening the front door. Chapter 324. Learning the truth. Callum's subordinates were incredibly reliable. They had renovated the entire research institute with an impressive grandeur. Moreover, they adopted a minimalist and efficient style. Working there, one would definitely feel comfortable. The last time Callista was brought there, she was taken directly underground and had never emerged since, even after her death. Now, as she walked around, observing the decor and arrangement of the above-ground area, she couldn't help but nod in approval. It was truly a wonderful place, especially for a researcher like her. There was no location more peaceful nor a layout more to her liking. However, Callum did not pay attention to all these. He directly took Callista to the rest area that was prepared for her. The entire third floor was her exclusive personal space. Upon entering, Callista was greeted by a hint of floral scent. It turned out that roses were used to adorn the entrance. However, after a few days, most of the roses had withered. If he had come earlier, she would have seen them at their most beautiful blossom upon entering. The path was surprisingly paved with flower petals. The tension in Callum's shoulders cased instantly. He looked at Callista, his gaze intensely focused. At the very least, you should take a look around here. The reason I renovated this place was to make you happy. My true intent was to bring you joy. Callista remained silent, simply shifting her gaze elsewhere. Callum felt a bit disheartened, but he quickly cheered up. Look here. This is the living room. You once mentioned wanting a living room filled with sunlight. Do you like these floor, too, ceiling windows? I've also made special arrangements outside using the principle of refraction. As long as the sun comes out, your living room will be the first place to light up. Seeing Callista's indifferent demeanor, Callum redoubled his efforts and led her to the bedroom. The bedroom was arranged in an incredibly cozy manner, with warm colors that starkly contrasted the study outside. The most noticeable feature was undoubtedly the 4-meter, wide super king, sized bed. Even without touching it, one could sense its softness. Atop it was a huge heart shape made of flowers. Although that method was a bit cliché, it was undeniably effective. You mentioned that pale yellow is relaxing, so that's the color of the walls. You said you wanted a soft, large bed, and I'm sure it will satisfy you. And there's more. Callum slowly recounted. All the preparations he had made were based on the subtle hints he had picked up from Callista's preferences, especially the large bed. Callum's gaze dimmed momentarily. The last time he was there, he had thought that he could make Callista happy and claim her virginity before marriage on that bed. Aside from being fully equipped as a home, the place also had a gym, a surround sound cinema, a wine cellar, and a study, all meticulously organized. The wine and the books were all to Callista's taste. The clothes were made of her most frequently worn fabric. Even the coffee cups used for guests were her favorite porcelain ones. If that hadn't been the place where she had died, and if none of those events had occurred, Callista believed she would have been truly delighted. She was genuinely fond of that place, and there was someone who cared enough to remember all her habits and preferences and steadfastly cater to them. That was a feeling of stark dissonance, a profound contradiction. It seemed to cleave her icy heart into two halves. One half was writhing in pain, the other struggling fiercely. Her rationality remained silent while her emotional side was shrieking. Callum did get one thing right. Callista wasn't losing her mind, and she wasn't as fragile as she had thought. Before she entered, it felt as if her heart was being clenched, leaving her breathless. However, once she was inside, she turned alarmingly calm. If there was any difference, it probably resided deep within her heart in the form of sorrow. A profound and deep, rooted sorrow. Perhaps the heavens couldn't bear to see her joy. Even after bestowing her with joy, they cruelly snatched it away. Perhaps all of that was intentional, a long, planned conspiracy aimed at her. Don't you like any of these? After they took a look around the place, Callum's hope was gradually crushed. Although Callista was listening, Callum couldn't discern a hint of joy in her demeanor. For the first time in his life, he felt defeated. He desperately wanted to grab Callista by the collar and demand an explanation. However, as he looked into her indifferent eyes, he found himself unable to utter a single word, as if all his strength had been drained away. "This place is nice." Callista's words ignited a spark in Callum's eyes as if they had breathed new life into him. "I've seen your sincerity, so let me ask you again. Do you really want to know why I've treated you this way? Once the truth is spoken, there's no turning back. Even so, do you still want to know?" As Callum listened to Callista's words, a sudden sense of uncertainty welled up within him. Particularly when Callista's gaze met his, he felt as if something deep within his mind was clamoring, pleading for him not to uncover the truth. "I want to know." In the end, his desire to learn the truth to know prevailed. Callista squinted her eyes, then suddenly broke into a smile. "Since you've already shown me around, now it's my turn to reciprocate the gesture." "She's planning to show me around?" The familiar sense of peculiarity surfaced within Callum once again. "Callista has never been here before, so what is she going to show me?" After Callista had led him out, they took the elevator to the first floor. Callum initially thought that Callista was going to take him outside, but she didn't. Instead, Callista led him through a maze of corridors to a very concealed door. Upon opening the door and entering, Callum found that it was merely a storage room. Chapter 325. "You imagined all these, however," Callista didn't stop. Instead, she led him to a corner of the warehouse. From what seemed like seamless wall, she suddenly pushed open a door. Here, Callum quickly realized something. Callista was studying the K-virus, so when Quintus asked Callum about it, he told Quintus to build an underground space. However, he hadn't had the chance to inquire about the underground space, so Callum wondered how Callista knew about it. They descended in the elevator, and the moment the elevator door slid open, Callista turned to him with a smile and spoke. "Welcome to the underground space. Trust me, it's even more thrilling than the world above." All the equipment had been set up, all in preparation for studying the K-virus, so there wasn't much difference from what Callista remembered. If anything had to be pointed out, it was that this batch of equipment was even better and more advanced. From the moment they stepped in, the entire underground space was suddenly bathed in light. Callista pointed upward. "The first thing I want to introduce you to is part of the voice control system. Did you know, She paused briefly, curving her lips into a slight smile. To prevent the people below from being kept in the dark from any unexpected incidents happening above, this audio system is designed in a particularly intriguing manner. If someone speaks from above, those below can hear every word crystal clear. However, if there's chaos down below, those above wouldn't hear a thing. Therefore, when I first arrived, I heard noises from above and initially thought it was due to poor sound insulation. Once, during a routine inspection by a prosecutor, I broke my silence and started shouting. However, the people outside continued to talk as if nothing had happened. The researchers around me watched me with amusement, not even attempting to stop me. They let me yell for half an hour. That was the first time I felt despair. When Callista started speaking, Callum listened intently. However, she suddenly interjected with a story that clearly wasn't hers, leaving him utterly bewildered. Callum didn't hastily interrupt her. Instead, he listened attentively. He suspected that Callista's psychological issue was likely a form of delusion and hallucination. However, that didn't explain how she was so familiar with that place. As Callum ruminated, his thoughts deeply unsettled him. However, Callista didn't grant him the time to dwell on them. Instead, she swiftly led him to another location. "Check this out," Callista said, pressing something nearby. Suddenly, a small passage appeared. This passage served as an emergency exit. I once saw someone use it and managed to remember how it worked. They brought me here for an experiment once, and in the middle of the night, I seized the opportunity to bite through my restraints. I ran toward this place like a madman. I was so close to escaping through here." She chuckled lightly before continuing, "However, needless to say, I failed in the end. Subsequently, they sealed off this place. The price I paid was that they broke my legs so I could no longer escape." Though she was laughing, her smile appeared so rigid under the bright lights. This gave Callum an eerie sense of reality, as if all of this had truly happened before. But how could it be possible? There's no way Callista could have gone through all this. And also here, Callista led Callum further in .balance virus, it became dormant due to my unique physiology. This made it difficult to study without my cooperation. However, if I ingested this type of fungal powder, the virus inside me would surge to its peak activity. Therefore, even without my cooperation, they could still obtain the data they wanted. Upon saying that, she paused, and her smile widened further. "Of course, it does have a minor side effect. It intensifies my pain, causes muscle atrophy, and severe dehydration. So, even though they spared no expense on my nutrition, I still ended up looking skin and bones in a very short time." She touched her own face, grinning softly. "Do you think I'm beautiful now?" Callum was initially unsettled by her previous statement. Upon hearing her question, he looked at her in bewilderment for a moment before he finally responded seriously, "Beautiful. You're very beautiful." He found her so beautiful that there were times when he didn't want to take Callista out simply because he didn't want to share her beauty with anyone else. Callista pursed her lips and patted her own face in slight embarrassment. "You probably can't picture me, all skin and bones, covered in frightening shades of blue and purple, almost like a zombie. That's enough. The very thought was unbearable to Callum. How could someone I cherish with all my heart be fermented to such a state by others? Gaunt, withered muscles, broken legs. How could such things have possibly happened to Callista? I would make sure anyone who dared to do this paid a horrendous price 100 times over. Why aren't you speaking? Callista tilted her head. Didn't you want to know the truth? All of this isn't real. Callum urgently grasped her hand, only to find it icy cold, which made him hold on even tighter. He wasn't sure if he was trying to convince himself or others, but he repeated himself once more. All of this isn't real. Callie, you're just ill. It's all in your imagination. You must have seen the design plans at Quintus Place, and then you imagined all these terrifying illusions. None of it is true. Chapter 326. Uncovering the truth, Callista looked at him steadily, then after a moment, she shook her head with a smile. For the first time, I realized that you, too, have moments where you escape from reality. She spoke with an air of case. Broken legs and muscle atrophy are nothing. Keep walking with me, and I'll show you many more interesting things. As Callista spoke, she led Callum inward. I'm not going. He grasped Callista's arm in a hurry. You're not allowed to go either. Your illness is severe. I'm taking you to see a doctor. What about the truth? Don't you want to know the truth? Callum had never felt such regret before. He wished desperately he could turn back time. I don't want to know any more. I don't want to know anything. Callie, as long as you're with me, I don't need to know anything else. Despite his denial, the way he looked at Callista as he spoke was filled with sorrow and panic. He chose to believe, as there was no other way to explain everything that had happened. However, he no longer wished to know the details. All he wanted now was to keep Callista by his side and let all those D**MN things vanish into thin air. Callista chuckled lightly. So, you still believe me? She clasped his hand in return, a smile gracing her lowered gaze. But now that it's been said, we can't turn back, can we? Why don't we continue, then? I just asked you, if there's no going back, would you still want to know the truth? You said yes. You wanted to know. Callum's palms were sweaty, he had messed up once again. He shouldn't have come, let alone entered. The possibility of losing Callista filled him with dread. Yet, as Callista had said, once something was spoken, there was no turning back. His only options were to choose between gaining a clearer understanding or remaining in the dark. Have you calmed down? Now, are you ready to hear me out? After a lengthy silence, Callum, despite the piercing pain in his heart, looked at her numb smiling face and asked in a deep voice, So, are you still Callista? Yet eerily at that moment, Callum began to understand many oddities. If Callista was not Callista, her drastic change in temperament could be easily explained. However, there were similarities between the Callista of now and the past, making it somewhat far-fetched to claim she wasn't the same person. I am Callista, but simultaneously, I'm also not her. Callista chuckled, her voice echoing in the underground, carrying an ethereal quality. You could never possibly imagine how many years I've loved you. In our past life, I loved you for over 20 years, but you didn't love me. That's all right. No one said that love always yields results. Moreover, since there were so many misunderstandings between us in our previous life and how you disregarded me, I had no chance to explain. The growing distance between us seemed like an inevitable outcome. Me harm. Someone caused me to be infected with K virus, and I was captured and brought here to be inhumanely studied for 3 years. 3 years. Do you have any idea what I ended up looking like? A zombie, a drowned corpse, a piece of trash. Maybe even worse. Yet, this place is the Fairchild family's ancestral property. Callista suddenly let out a sneer. Can you believe it? I always thought you were harmless, but I was tormented for 3 years in your ancestral property. How could you have not known? I loved you so much, so very much. Yet, after knowing my situation, you never once extended a helping hand to me. Observing the sudden pallor on Callum's face, Callista laughed, her conjectures growing even more malicious. Perhaps you knew from the very beginning. Back then, your cousin had contracted the K virus. He must have come to you for help. Then, someone told you that I was a special infected individual. Sacrificing me, who was already infected, to save others is a no-loss deal no matter how you see it, isn't it? As long as you spare my life, and once you succeed, you could just reimburse me and return me my freedom. That way, you wouldn't feel like you wronged me, am I right? Callum's heart clenched in anxiety. He stumbled backward, colliding with a piece of equipment instinctively, he retorted, "So, this is just your speculation. You can't be sure that I was aware of this matter. Maybe I wasn't involved at all." However, his explanation was far too feeble. The likelihood that he was unaware of the events that had transpired with the ancestral property of the Fairchild family was incredibly slim. Even if he was unaware, it could only be because he didn't care, so he left the task to someone else. Yet, the sheer indifference was more than enough to make Callista despise him. Callum thought. That's right. That's enough to make her resent me. I have no proof. Upon hearing his words, Callista continued to smile, but her eyes reddened and became filled with malice. Still, as long as this piece of land is yours, it's enough for me to cancel the wedding. She shook her head, a bitter smile playing on her lips. I guess you already knew, didn't you? You just didn't care. After all, I was just your unwanted fiancé. Whether I lived or died, what did it matter? Since I contracted the K virus, not only could you save others by using me, but it also gave me a chance to survive. Your conscience wouldn't be affected in the slightest because when you despise someone, you won't bother to think too much about them. Callum clenched his eyes shut, a desperate wish coursing through him. He wished none of this had ever happened. If only I hadn't brought her here. If only none of these events have taken place. Callie, he walked toward her, suddenly pulling her into a tight embrace. It seemed that only in this way he could feel that she was still his. Chapter 327. Call off the wedding, you've said it yourself, Callie. All of those were matters of a previous life. Whatever I did in that previous life has no bearing on this one because it never happened. And now, you want to hold the mistakes I made in my previous life against me in this one? That simply isn't fair to me. You're right. You should be grateful that you've never done anything to wrong me in this lifetime. Callista gently chuckled next to his car as she was held in his embrace. I've already crushed those who wronged me in their previous life and in this one. It's precisely because you've been good to me in this life, and because I'm not one to blur the lines of right and wrong, that I've told you the truth. I don't plan on seeking vengeance. However, I don't plan on being with you anymore either. It just doesn't sit right with me. Callum looked at her in shock. Callie. You can't do this. It's not fair to me. Unfortunately, I can't offer you fairness, Callista stated calmly. She pushed Callum away, straightening her clothes as she continued, if you don't agree to call off the wedding, I won't go back with you. Choosing not to seek revenge against you is already the limit of my patience. As long as you agree to call off the wedding, I will continue to treat you as I did before. But once you recover, I will leave. Call off the wedding? Leave. She relentlessly pursued Callum, nearly suffocating him with her acts of affection. After landing one blow, she swiftly followed with another, leaving Callum with a sense of agony that was almost unbearable. He clutched at his chest where her warmth used to linger. It felt as though a gaping hole had been torn open there. The discomfort was unbearable, yet it was the overwhelming sense of emptiness and helplessness that truly pained him. Am I expected to just accept this outcome? I'm just supposed to stand by and watch as things spiral out of control between us? No. I don't want this. Suddenly, he seized Callista's hand and started to drag her away from the colossal structure that was akin to a castle. In the midst of the flower field, Callum was panting heavily. However, the moment he saw Callista, he made a sudden resolution. He unlocked the fingerprint lock on the key to his research center. I don't know how to argue with you, or what to do to avoid hurting you while still satisfying myself. All I can do is to show you that I am determined not to give up. Callista simply looked at him in confusion. After he unlocked the key with his fingerprint, a thin slice on the key spun open. At its center, there was a button which he pressed with a resolute determination. What are you doing? Callista suddenly felt a sense of unease, but in that moment, Callum laughed. You're scared of it, aren't you? But with me here, there's nothing you need to fear. As his voice faded, a rumbling sound echoed from beneath the ground. Callista's sense of unease intensified, as if some emotion was about to burst forth from the earth itself. Stop! What are you doing? Isn't this the ancestral property your grandfather left you? Callum didn't respond. Instead, he simply walked behind Callista, held her in his arms, and gently forced her to look in the direction of the research center. Nothing is more important than you. Even if it's a place I've painstakingly crafted, if you despise it, then it should vanish. Upon finishing his sentence, a tremendous explosion suddenly erupted within the research center. Immediately after, the blasts continued without pause, all triggered from within. This caused the massive, cold marble exterior to gradually collapse inward, completely undamaged otherwise. Does Callum actually intend to blow up this place? Callista's heart pounded a bit faster. Why, you've activated the self-destruct system. Yeah. Callum nodded, his composure unshaken as if nothing had happened. As Callum watched the large building before him crumble, the inexplicable fear and unease in his heart vanished, and his rationality returned at last. So what if Callista was reincarnated with hatred? So what if there is now a great chasm between us? Once I fall in love, love deeply. Besides, I've given my true heart, so I absolutely won't allow failure. I will remove all the obstacles that stand between us through my actions. I'd never give Callie the chance to leave me. Why did you have to do that? Callista was utterly astounded, eventually closing her eyes in distress. Callum gently covered her ears with both hands and whispered softly into them, "Whatever I do for you will always be worth it." With the resounding boom of an explosion, the building, which was initially crumbling in small pieces, suddenly seemed as if its core had been hollowed out, giving rise to a small mushroom cloud. It felt as if the world was on the brink of destruction, with buildings caving in on a massive scale. The thunderous noise was relentlessly ringing in their cars. As dust shot up toward the sky, occasional bursts of fire could be seen within. Against the backdrop of fiery clouds, akin to a fiery sunset, it felt eerily like the apocalypse was upon them. Callum had truly destroyed it all for her sake. Callista tensed up all over as she stared at the place, where she was once held captive, get destroyed before her very eyes. She couldn't quite identify the feeling in her heart, but it felt as if something deep within her had collapsed as well. She wanted to control it, but she couldn't. Then, it suddenly dawned on her that this place had been built by Callum, who had put so much effort into it amidst his busy schedule. With that thought, her throat suddenly became very dry. "You really didn't have to go to such lengths. Even so, I must call off the engagement." Callum lowered his hand from her ear, holding her even tighter as he said, "It's fine if you wish to cancel the wedding. Anything you dislike should vanish from this world, and that includes me." In the aftermath of the explosion, he turned her around to face him, looking directly into her eyes as he continued, "Do you hate me? If you do, there's a simple solution. You don't need to keep me alive any longer. Soon, I'll vanish from your sight, just like this place." It seemed as though Callista was scorched by his gaze, for the first time a desire to flee arose within her. Yet, Callum held her firmly in his grip. "Do I hate him? If I do, then why have I never wished for his demise? Yet, if I don't, then why can't I accept him? Answer me, Callista. Do you hate me?" Callista felt as though she was stuck in a dilemma. In the midst of the chaos, she instinctively said, "I don't hate you." She simply couldn't accept him again. Even so, it seemed as though Callum was content with her answer. He held her close, a bitter smile playing at his lips as he whispered in her car, "All right, remember what you've said. You don't despise me, so you can't leave me." "She plans to leave after curing me? There's no way I would allow it." Sure enough, Callista was highly resistant. She furrowed her brows, attempting to push him away, but was held even tighter by Callum. "As long as you stay, I will agree to all of your demands," he promised. Callista was taken aback when she heard that, "The wedding can be called off, but you cannot leave me." With great effort, Callum managed to utter these words nonchalantly, yet his heart was bleeding. They were soon to be husband and wife, but now, he found himself having to step back just to keep her by his side. He had already shown considerable sincerity by going this far. Callista even felt that it would be somewhat ungrateful of her to reject him again. But why? How could someone as prideful as Callum go to such lengths for me? "Don't assume that I'd be with you just because you keep me here." Hoping to push him to give up, Callista wanted to maintain her cold facade to provoke him further. However, she was unaware of how helpless her expression looked, and how much it tugged at his heartstrings. Unable to resist, Callum gently lowered his head and kissed her forehead, letting out a soft chuckle. "Steps between us, all you need to do is watch me walk towards you." The sounds of the explosions gradually ceased, and the structure that once resembled a castle had vanished without a trace, leaving only ruins scattered across the ground. Callista's body trembled slightly, her heart that had been pounding since the start slowly began to calm, leaving her with a sense of dizziness as if she had just finished an intense workout. At the same time, she couldn't believe that Callum had shattered the shadow weighing on her heart so kissily. "He really is. It's getting late, let's head home. Remember, our lives aren't entirely in our own hands just yet." As the fiery clouds receded, the beautiful twilight hues took over. Flowers swayed gently, as if the heart-stopping events that had just occurred were nothing but an illusion. The sound of Callum's voice seemed unexpectedly more relaxed than before. Callista took a step back and said, "I can walk by myself." With a stern expression, she pushed Callum away. However, her retreating figure seemed somewhat disheveled. It was clear that both she and Callum needed to sort out their thoughts. One could imagine, at this point, that Callista's emotions must have been nearing the breaking point. Upon seeing Callista emerge first, Quintus initially wanted to stop her. However, noticing Callum just behind her, he halted in his tracks. To be honest, it was fortunate that they were in the territory of the Fairchild family. Otherwise, the commotion earlier would have certainly caused a panic. In his heart, Quintus was at a loss for words. He had spent billions on renovations, with the third floor alone consuming a significant amount of his effort. "Shall we return now, Mr. Callum?" He may have had his complaints, but seeing Callista obediently get in the car, it was clear that the two of them had started to make up. He let out a sigh of relief in knowing that those billions hadn't been wasted after all. "Yeah." Callum nodded, but unlike his earlier relaxed self, he now appeared somewhat solemn. "Put word out that the wedding is postponed," he ordered. Although he had told Callista that their engagement was off, in Callum's perspective, it was merely a postponement. He wanted others to know that Callista was still his woman, and that the wedding was merely put on hold. Quintus was taken aback when he leered that. "So, they haven't made up yet." Mr. Callum must have been very upset. "Understood, Mr. Callum. That's good," Callum said as he got into the car. Returning to Fairchild Manor once more, Callista felt an uncanny sensation. This only served to prove that she had truly considered Fairchild Manor as her home before this. Callie. Wanda was the first to come over. She examined Callista by holding and looking at her hands. You scared me to death. Callie. How could you just run off like that? Where have you been these past 2 days? I've been worried sick. When faced with Wanda, the sense of estrangement that Callista used to feel had disappeared. Regardless of everything, Wanda had been genuinely good to her. Having just one person like that was truly more than enough. Callista rested her head on Wanda's shoulder as she said, I'm sorry, Aunt Wanda. I won't run off again in the future. Chapter 329. Creating an opportunity for them. What's going on? In the past, Callista was a very reserved person and rarely got this close to her. Feeling confused, Wanda directed a puzzled look toward Callum. Callum gave his head a shake and said, Mom, aren't you supposed to take Callie to meet someone? Huh? Oh, yes. Callie, you should rest first. I will take you to meet a friend tomorrow, okay? Callista speculated that Wanda was taking her to see a psychiatrist. A hint of resistance stirred within her. But faced with Wanda's expectant gaze, she found herself unable to voice any objections. All right. Upon seeing her agree, Wanda was indeed quite pleased. However, the conversation took a sudden turn when Callista added, But could you arrange another room for me? I don't want to share a room with Callum. Callista's words elicited a variety of reactions from those present. Concealing the bitterness in his heart, Callum told Wanda to step away first. Callum walked over to Callista, feeling somewhat exasperated as he said, It's really late, so why bother with all this fuss? How about we just add another bed to the room? I haven't been able to sleep for days now. Callista was very hesitant about it, but she was genuinely exhausted, and moreover, she was a bit apprehensive about speaking with Callum, so she decided to stay silent. Just like that, Callum, who claimed not to want any fuss, still caused quite a stir by moving a bed in. This was certainly more troublesome than simply arranging a new room for Callista. Previously, Callista didn't feel anything unusual. After all, she and Callum had shared even more intimate moments together. Sharing a room or even bathing together didn't stir any emotions within her, but things were different now. She furrowed her brows as her emotions were in turmoil. Yet, she didn't hesitate at all in doing what needed to be done. Callum, who was pretending to review some documents, let out a sigh of relief. Recently, he had to be extremely careful not to do anything that might upset her. The reason why Callista is feeling flustered right now is merely because I had unexpectedly obliterated her nightmare before, causing her a certain amount of distress. If she were given time to calm down, she would still remember the things I had done to her in the previous life. The mere thought of that gave Callum a headache. There was an old saying that children often had to suffer for their parents' sins, but in his case, Callum found himself paying the price for things he hadn't even done. It was truly unjust. While Callista was halfway through showering, the water suddenly stopped. She was somewhat baffled. In Fairchild Manor, which had a water circulation system, the idea of water outage was simply unthinkable. Yet, It had indeed happened. She repeatedly tried to make a call using the bathroom's internal line, but the line was always busy. Seeing Callista emerge swiftly, Callum was somewhat puzzled. She hadn't even dried her hair and was merely wrapped in a bath towel, her fair skin largely exposed. He couldn't help but swallow, his eyes flickering as he asked, "What's wrong?" Callista scrutinized Callum's expression. Upon noting that he didn't seem to be pretending, she figured it could indeed be an unexpected situation. "The bathroom's water supply was cut off," she stated coldly.
"Huh?
How could that be?" Callum exclaimed, finding the situation almost unbelievable. At that moment, someone knocked on the door, and from outside, Wanda's somewhat apologetic voice could be heard. "Callum, hold off on showering for now. There's an issue with the water pressure in the water circulation system. It requires manual pumping to get the water flowing again." Callista noticed the sticky foam on her body and couldn't help but ask, "How do I manually pump water?" A commotion echoed from outside the door, as if someone was exclaiming, "We did it." After a while, Wanda, feigning calmness, said, "Callum should know where the pressure pump is. I have some things to take care of, so you should get some rest soon." After Wanda finished speaking, she left. At this point, there was no way Callum wouldn't be able to understand their intentions. Even though the pressure pump was in the bathroom, it was located a bit far from the bathtub's shower head. Moreover, it had to be continuously pumped for water to flow. In other words, if Callista wanted to finish her shower smoothly, someone would have to go in and pump it for her continuously. This really seemed like an idea Wanda would have come up with. After hearing Callum's explanation, Callista seemed to have also deduced Wanda's intentions. It must have been because they knew she wanted to annul the marriage, so they were intentionally trying to create an opportunity for them. She presumed that even if she sought help from the servants, they would likely claim that they didn't have the time to assist her. Callista was somewhat agitated, her emotional state was still far from calm, especially facing such a situation. Yet she couldn't express her anger. After all, it was her who had unreasonably called off the marriage first. The fact that Wanda didn't blame her was already a display of utmost kindness and understanding. After a moment's hesitation, Callista quickly glanced at Callum and asked, "Would you come in and help me?" Callum suddenly stood up, his eyes clearly revealing a sense of surprise and delight. "All right. I mean, sure. I won't look at you." With an expression that was difficult to put into words, Callista once again entered the bathroom. Callum hesitated for a moment before stepping in. It could have been an illusion, but despite the bathroom's spaciousness, the moment Callum entered, Callista felt an overwhelming sense of pressure. He stood tall and was clad in a well-tailored casual shirt, seemingly at a loss as he watched her. Callista had always believed she had long lost any sense of modesty, yet facing him, impeccably dressed as he was, she found herself unexpectedly reluctant to let go of her bath towel. In the midst of the rising steam, Callum's ears were slightly red. He turned around very slowly and said in a hoarse voice, "Go ahead and wash up. I won't look." Chapter 330. "Close your eyes." As he spoke, he pumped the pressure pump and water gushed out instantly, finally allowing Callista to continue. After a moment of hesitation, she decided to remove the bath towel wrapped around her chest. There were no partitions, no cover. If Callum were to turn around, he would be able to see her in her entirety. A very unfamiliar sense of restraint caused Callista to frown. It seemed as if from the moment Callum blew up the research center today, something had also collapsed within her heart, giving rise to complex emotions. It was an experience she had never had since her reincarnation, as if the world had become more real. Callum's emotions grew more complex. The night was supposed to be his hardest time, but being in this bathroom, he didn't find it unbearable at all. However, when he inhaled the steam mingled with her body scent, his face burned. He knew he shouldn't, but those enchanting thoughts wouldn't stop swirling in his mind, especially when he considered the idea of Callista leaving. That desire suddenly intensified, as if only by claiming her, could he prevent her from leaving. Should I possess her and win her over so that she'll become obedient and never leave again? Suddenly, warmth surged in Callum's heart. It was as if the entire bathroom had heated up, an invisible tension twining between the two of them. From Callista's perspective, the muscles on Callum's back were taut, as if he would pounce on her any moment. Feeling the looming threat, Callista hastened her shower. As she stood to dry off, a wave of dizziness struck her, a result of days without proper nourishment. She let out a cry of pain and her body swayed. The moment Callum heard Callista's voice, he turned around. Seeing Callista looking as if she was about to faint, he rushed over to catch her without a second thought. However, due to his leg condition, he ended up being pulled into the bathtub by Callista instead. Water splashed around as Callum pressed down on Callista. He was completely drenched. Upon coming into contact with water, Callista was instantly roused from her daze. To her surprise, she found herself stark naked and held tightly in Callum's arms. A wave of inexplicable anger washed over her. Did you do this on purpose? After all, how could Callum possibly not be able to hold her back? For a moment, Callista couldn't think of any other reason besides this one. Callum was at a loss for words. A few days ago, he had injured his leg. Although it had been properly bandaged, the wound had reopened due to his rapid running today. He hadn't felt much discomfort earlier, but suddenly, his injured leg had started throbbing with pain. Otherwise, he certainly wouldn't have been brought down by Callista. Visibly upset, Callista gave him a push. It wasn't that she had never been seen by Callum. Throughout the past year of their constant companionship, had it not been for Callum's illness that deterred him from touching her, they would have had countless close encounters. Before, she had never felt anything like this. But today, she was utterly overwhelmed. The moment he embraced her, every inkling of her exposed skin felt a cold shiver. Stop looking. Seeing how Callum's gaze seemed to be glued to her, Callista finally lost her temper in embarrassment and pushed him away. A bitter taste filled Callum's mouth. It wasn't that he wanted to look, but he was a normal man, after all. Before, it was understandable that he couldn't touch her, but even now, it was still off-limits. The last time he was intimate with Callista, which was also their first time, was 2 years ago. He truly had unspoken grievances. However, knowing that Callista was not in a state to handle any shocks at the moment, Callum obediently stood up. But his injured leg jerked suddenly as if acting against him. He had risen halfway, but then he heavily slumped back down, his hand landing somewhere it shouldn't have. At this, Callista's eyes were brimming with anger, turning red. Callum. You. She had wanted to embarrass and accuse him of taking advantage of her when she noticed a patch of water had turned red, and the source was Callum's knee. Only then did Callista suddenly remember that Callum had injured his leg a few days ago. He must have torn the wound open by running so fast today. But because he was wearing black trousers, no one had noticed. Upon realizing he hadn't done it on purpose, Callista calmed back down. However, she still shot Callum a glare. Close your eyes. At that moment, Callum was still reeling from the touch he had just experienced. He had just touched Callie's chest. He closed his eyes and his face flushed even more. Callista seemed to have guessed what he was thinking. She huffed and quickly got out of the bathtub. The enticing scent and supple form of the woman brushed against him, sending electric jolts through every point of contact. Callum was tempted to explore the sensation further, but his rational mind told him that now was not the time. Yes, now's not the right time. Callista was about to rise, but her long hair was pinned down by Callum, causing her to accidentally slip back into the bathtub. This time, she could no longer hold back her anger. Callum, can you honestly say you didn't do that on purpose? Callum wasn't able to hear much of that. Earlier, in order to support her and prevent her from hitting her head, he had ended up cradling the back of her head with one hand. His upper body was pressed tightly against hers, and his heart was pounding fiercely, as if it was about to leap out of his throat. When Callista, deviating from her usual indifference, glared at him, she was more vibrant than ever before. Callum looked lost and bewildered. His hair was damp from the water, clinging to his forehead, and his shirt was tightly adhered to his well-toned body.